Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
In September, the Islamic world lost one of its great spiritual and religious leaders, Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi. In his 96 years, al-Qaradawi was dedicated to explaining Islam, creating unity among Muslims, for charity, and so much more. However, today with Dr. Nesia Rubinstein-Shemer, we will explore his relationship with the State of Israel and with Judaism and Jews. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Islamic Studies, a channel in the New Books Network. I'm Yakir Englander, your host. Today we will be talking to Nesia Rubinstein-Shemer about her new book, Hamas and Ideology, Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi on the Jews, Zionism, and Israel, written together with Dr. Shaul Bartal and published in English by Routledge in 2018, and now also in Hebrew by the Pardes Publishing House. Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi is regarded as the most influential contemporary Muslim religious figure. The subject of jihad in Palestine is a feature of Qaradawi thought and is addressed frequently in his books. His views on Israel and the Jews shape those of many Muslims throughout the world. This book paints al-Qaradawi portrait within the context of the subject of the struggle for Palestine, and assesses why he is committed to the Palestinian cause. Furthermore, it compares the features of anti-Semitic writing with that of Qaradawi in order to answer the question as to whether Qaradawi teachings actually constitute an expression of anti-Semitism. Our guest, Dr. Nesia Rubinstein-Shemer, is assistant professor in the Department of Middle Eastern Studies at Bar-Ilan University. Her research focuses on classical Islamic law and the relations between Islam and Judaism. Nesia, thank you so much for coming to the New Books Network.
Thank you.
My first question for you is, as an Israeli scholar, can you share a little bit about your choice to write a book about the head of the Hamas, which is a party and a group that have very complicated relationship with Israel, and about the Sheikh Yusuf Qaradawi?
So I am a senior lecturer at Bar-Ilan University in the Department of Middle Eastern Studies. And my field of interest is Islam and Sharia, which means Islamic law. One of my courses is called Jews, Judaism, and Israel in the Eyes of Islam. When I built this course, I was naturally interested in Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi's view on this subject. And I noticed how much of his energy and time were devoted to the subject of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. He wrote books, he wrote sermons, fatwas about it. And on the other hand, in the academic world, there were many publications about him, but not on this topic. So from here, the road to writing this book was short It was first published in English in 2018 by Routledge under the name Islam and Ideology, Yusuf al-Qaradawi on Jews, Judaism, and Israel. And now it has been published in Hebrew under the title The Head of Hamas, which means that al-Qaradawi is the head of Hamas because he is their spiritual leader. And if you read what Qaradawi thinks about Jews, Judaism, and Israel, you can understand what Hamas thinks.
Thank you so much. And before, he was also the head of the imam or the influence also in the time of Sheikh Yassin. They were together before.
No, Sheikh Yassin was the founder of Hamas, and as long as Sheikh Yassin lived, he was the spiritual leader of Hamas, and Hamas followed his guidance. But after Yassin's death, Hamas looked for another spiritual leader, and they adopted Sheikh al-Qaradawi. And also, when al-Qaradawi visited Gaza Strip in 2013, Ismail Haniyeh took him directly to Yassin's house, and he gave his speech from there in order to emphasize that now, after Yassin's death, Hamas sees al-Qaradawi as its spiritual leader.
Wow, fascinating. So there is a saying that a person is he's designed or influenced by the way how he was grow up. I wonder if you can share a little bit about his teachers, and maybe I mean he experienced the Nakba or the independence, right, of Israel in 1948. And it's left probably trauma of many people. So I wonder if you can share a little bit about his teachers and their influence on him.
Sheikh Qaradawi's outstanding teacher and mentor was Hassan al-Banna, the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood movement in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood aimed to strengthen the Islamic identity of the Muslims in Egypt and also to eliminate British colonialism. Already at a young age, Qaradawi met Hassan al-Banna at Al-Azhar in Cairo. Hassan al-Banna preached there. He had great charisma, and al-Qaradawi was captivated by his charms. And from this event, he adopted him as his guide, teacher, mentor. And one of the most important things about Hassan al-Banna was that his dream was to support the struggle in Palestine, the struggle between Arabs and Jews. He was in close ties with the Mufti, Sheikh Haj Amin al-Husseini, and he made many efforts to help the Arab struggle. For example, he collected money and weapons from people and sent them to Palestine, and he established camps for Egyptian youth in order that they will practice to prepare themselves to the great day of the war in Palestine in 1948. And in this war, Hassan al-Banna sent hundreds of volunteers to Palestine to fight there. Al-Qaradawi also wanted to go to Palestine, and he was part of those camps, but unfortunately, he was arrested by the Egyptian police. But his best friend, Abdel Wahab al-Batanuni, went to fight in Palestine and died there. So Al-Qaradawi's dream as a young man was to fight for Palestine, but he didn't manage to accomplish his dream. So afterwards, he dedicated all his life to support Palestine in every mean he could.
It's fascinating because it's create a connection between the conflict and also religion, and I want to get help from you to understand it better. So the Sheikh Yusuf El Qaradawi, he influenced very much the Hamas. Can you share a little bit about this relationship, about the influence of the Sheikh on the Hamas? What in his teachings, I'm sure there are so many local imams in Gaza and also in the West Bank that can influence Hamas, local people. What in Sheikh Qaradawi make the Hamas so much to listen to him?
Not only Hamas listened to him, Sheikh Al-Qaradawi is considered the most popular and influential Muslim scholar of our generation. Bettina Graf called him the global mufti. Qaradawi's support in Hamas had many ways. For example, he supported them financially by establishing many organizations that helped Hamas. Al-Qaradawi is sitting set at Qatar, and he was able to engage the ruler of Qatar to help Gaza after every war with Israel. And he wrote many books in favor of the Palestinian struggles. For example, he wrote one book called Fatawa Min Ajli Filastin, Fatwas for Palestine. He wrote a book of sermons dedicated to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and many, many fatwas that dealt with the issues of Palestinians. For example, what should a Palestinian prisoner should do in Israeli prison, how he should conduct his religious duties. He also wrote about sperm smuggles from Israeli prison to Palestinians, Palestinian prisoners, and dedicated, for example, fatwas to deal with the boycotts on Israeli businesses in Israel and also abroad. And he supported Hamas morally by coming to Gaza in 2013, encouraging them and supporting them in every mean he could.
Wow. And does he also speak, is it like only the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that deeply move him? Or is it true also about, I don't know, other conflict between Sunni and Shia or inside Syria? I mean, there are many conflicts. I mean, the Arab Spring happened and so many changes happen. Can you share a little bit about his views towards other conflicts inside Muslim countries?
Of course, Al-Qaradawi didn't interest only in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And he was the preacher of the Arab Spring, and he encouraged the rebellion in Syria. Regarding Sunni and Shi'i Muslims, he, on the contrary, he tried to reconcile them, and he tried to bring hearts together between Sunni and Shia. For example, he established an organization, the IUMS, International Union of Muslim Scholars. And in this organization, there are 90,000 Muslim scholars from all over the world. And there are also Sunni and Shi'i scholars members in this organization. In the Second Lebanon War in 2006, he openly supported Hezbollah that was fighting against Israel. Because even that they are Shiites, because as long as you fight against Israel, according to Qardawi, it doesn't matter if you are a Sunni or a Shiite.
So maybe I'm coming now to my biggest questions, and I really want to learn from you. When people speak about religion and politics, I see many times two parties, one that blame religion for conflict when religion is inside. And they will say, you know, the conflict between Israel and Palestine or the Arab world is more a conflict between Islam and Judaism. Or some people say, no. Religion is beautiful. Religion is about God. You know, it's pure in a way. And people use it, bad people, they use religion for their politics. Yusuf Al-Qaradawi is fascinating because in a way he is so sensitive, right, to changes inside the Islamic world. He care, as you said, he supports the Arab Spring. And from the other side, when it comes to Israel, it sounds that he is very radical. Help me to understand it.
Okay, so it is true that religious texts are subject to political interpretation. It is very much depends on who interprets them. Islam is full of diversity and different views and interpretations. And if we take as an example the Quranic attitude to the Jews, so it is true that it is mainly negative. But Sufi Muslims, for example, would place the conflict between Muhammad and the Jews in the 7th century when it happened. Sheikh Al-Qaradawi, on the other hand, will claim that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict actually stems from the historical conflict between Muhammad and the Jews. And this conflict stems from the competition between Abraham's two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. So the same case can be interpreted in many ways. As for Sheikh Al-Qaradawi's view, he saw himself as a religious authority of the generation for Muslims. So on one hand, he was willing to make many concessions in Islamic law if it benefited the Muslims. He saw himself as working in the service of Muslims. A good example for this is the new doctrine he established in Islamic law called Fiqh al-Aqaliyat, Islamic law for Muslim minorities in the West, which includes many concessions in the Sharia for them. So his harsh view against Israel stems from the fact that in Islamic view, Palestine is part of Dar al-Islam, which means the abode of Islam. Mm-hmm. That is a land that was conquered by Muslims and is therefore a Muslim territory. Mm-hmm. Another important thing is that the Al-Aqsa Mosque is located in Palestine, and the Al-Aqsa Mosque is the third holiest mosque in Islam. And Palestine is now occupied by Israel. So According to Islamic law, when the enemy conquers a Muslim territory, there is an obligation to wage war against it. And this war includes everyone, men, women. So Al-Qaradawi invested all his energy in supporting this war, because if it's financial support for Hamas or moral support, because he serviced the Muslim. And love and hate are two opposite sides of the same coin. If he loved the Muslim so much, so it is natural that he would hate those that, in his view, harm them. So this is, in my view, the explanation for this contradiction in his character.
Wow, thank you so much. Nessia, you have a very fascinating chapter, the last chapter, number 7, focusing on the relationship between being against Zionism and anti-Semitism. And I wonder, I mean, today it's a big question in general, right? I mean, is critique on against Zionism at all is an anti-Semitic thing? And I wonder if you can speak a little bit about how do you see this relationship?
Okay, so Qaradawi wrote many times that he is not against Jews or Judaism as a religion. He explained that Judaism and Islam are both monotheistic, Semitic religions that are very close to each other and has many similar commandments. And Jews lived under Islamic rule for hundreds of years. He claimed that his opposition is against Zionism, because Zionism founded the state of Israel on the ruins of the Palestinian people. But in practice, when we examined his writings, we revealed that in most cases, he didn't separate Judaism from Zionism. Mm-hmm. In his eyes, there is a hidden Zionist in every Jew, because he argues that the state of Israel can't exist if it doesn't have support from Jews abroad. So as regard the anti-Semitic characteristics in his writings, so he claims that he is not anti-Semite, but all the characteristics of the new anti-Semitism are found in his writings. The difference between classic anti-Semitism and new anti-Semitism is that in classic anti-Semitism, the object of hate is the Jew as an individual, while in the modern anti-Semitism, the object of hate is the state of Israel. But one of the most interesting chapters in the book deals with the admiration that Qaradawi has for Jews in Israel. On one hand, he hates them very much, but on the other hand, he thinks that Muslims should learn from them very much. Things like modern values, like democracy and unity and faith. He says, why the Jews are so successful and we Muslim aren't? Because the Jews believe in their cause, and Jews all over the world support Israel and invest money. And where are the Muslims? If we compare this to Muslims all over the world, where is the support of rich Arab countries in the Palestinian struggle? Jews established Israel, and Israel is now a very advanced country in technology and produces and invents many new things. And Muslims, they have a lot of money, so they can buy everything they need. But where is their creativity? Why don't they also invest in knowledge and learning and science like the Jews?
Fascinating that this is coming from him, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Nessia, I have a very personal question about him. What kind of a person Sheikh El-Qaradawi was? Like, what's from your, I'm sure you listened to him and read about him. What kind of a daily person he was? What was his character? Was he like nice, gentle, very harsh? Because on the one hand, you share how sensitive he is. On the other hand, he is so critique on Israel and in a way maybe on Jews, as you said. What he was?
He was like a merciful father to Muslims.
Wow.
And the worst enemy for Jews, for Israelis.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, but it's very understandable because he dedicated his life to help Muslims and support them and make life easier for them. But he couldn't stand away and see how his Muslim brothers in Palestine suffer.
I understand.
I see it very natural.
Did he ever, do you know if he ever met with Jews or had dialogue with rabbis?
Yes, the only Jews he was willing to meet were Neturei Karta Jews,
which
because
is
they
a
are
very anti-Zionist, ultra-Orthodox, right?
Ultra-Orthodox anti-Zionist group of Jews. And he was willing to meet only with them because
Wow.
anti-Zionism is common between them. But for example, when Sheikh Al-Azhar met with Chief Rabbi Israel Lau, he Yusuf Al-Qaradawi wrote a very long fatwa about this and condemned it, how the Sheikh of Al-Azhar meets an Israeli Jewish rabbi.
Wow. And last question, Nessia. He passed away, I mean, just now in September, right?
Yes.
And what will happen in the day after his death? Like, does he have strong students? Where we are now, where the Hamas is going to go without him?
So there is no Muslim scholar like Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qaradawi today. Among his organization, there are many students of him from his peers, like Sheikh Ahmed Al-Ghaisouni, who was his successor. He was the president of this organization after Al-Qaradawi retired, and many, many other scholars, but no one has written the amount of books and articles he wrote. No one has his status, and I think that Islamic world is very much orphan after his death.
Wow. Nessia, thank you so much for coming to the New Books Network. It was a gift to learn from you.
Thank you very much for this interview.